Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your buddy over here coming to you live out of Philadelphia. We have a very interesting topic today. We're going to go through a few things, but first, my little version here. If I walk past the announcing gate, I'll keep my mind focused on this. So, you're doing this, I'll be walking through. I feel like you know what's the problem. Okay, one. Very important. You can't get what you want unless you know what it is. You know what I mean? And if you determine what you want early in life, you might get a little sooner, you might think, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Brother Mac of Legacy of the Nation. He's a little bit under the weather, so we're going to be doing Legacy of the Nation for a minute until he decides he wants to come back and do some more Legacy of the Nation. Okay, so this is where we are right now. And so all the Legacy of the Nation shows have been tribute to Brother Mac. I just want to let you all know that, okay? We have a very interesting topic today. The topic is even wars. And what is nationalism? Okay, that's the topic for today. Who are the Moors and what is nationalism? Okay. Now, I'm going to go through as much as my understanding gives me as far as the Moors and who they were. And now, this is an interactive show, so if I say something that you disagree with or if you have some information to add about the topic, press 1 on your dial, and that'll let me know that you have a comment or something say, and you can just jump in. Or if you want to give a shout out about your business or your company, just jump in or just press 1 and let me know, and I'll open up the mic for you. Okay. Now, I've traced the Moors back to Mauritania, okay, which is where their journey began, according to my source. Okay, Mauritania, prior to being called Mauritania, was called Tai Chi. Okay. Now, these brothers from North Africa, they used to, when the tribes were fighting, okay, they used to call on these brothers from Mauritania or Tai Chi because of their martial arts skills to help them fight in their little tribal battles, tribal wars and stuff. That's right, Tai Chi didn't originate in China. Okay, let's throw that out there because they've taken everything and locking us out of whatever, everything that we did, everything that we had, they're claiming it, okay? But we had a area in Africa that was called Tai Chi. It's now called Mauritania, okay? All right. Now, they migrated from Mauritania all throughout Africa, okay? Now, this is pre-Muhammad. So they went... The Moors weren't Muslim. They weren't always Muslim. So there was a time that the Moors weren't Muslim. Now, going back, I don't have a lot of history pre-Muhammad, okay? For some reason, when I go on the Internet looking for the information, they're not giving it up. They're giving up most of the information from once they became Muslim, you know? And... And the areas that they conquered and areas that they turned into Muslim areas, things that they did to advance the civilization that was there. I'm saying civilization because we didn't have civilizations prior to Rome. Oh, I know, like, oh, well, we had great civilization. No, we had culturalizing. Civilization is a culture based on lies. That started with the Roman. That started with the Roman experience. Their entire culture is based on lies. Okay, civil liars. That's what they were, and that's what they are today. Lying about our history. They're lying about everything. We had our history was based on truth. It wasn't based on lies. So we never had civilization. We had culturalization. We had great cultures. We had some of the greatest cultures on the planet. But they weren't based on lies. So that's when I say the oldest civilization was Rome. People look at me like I'm crazy. But what they're doing, they're retrogressing these terms back into our culture when these terms weren't around for our culture because our culture wasn't based on lies. Truth, reciprocity is how we roll, you know? The lies of history came in when the Europeans began to teach history and talk about history. That's when all the lies came in, and that's when civilization began. All right, with their lies about their culture. I just want to make that plain. You want to be jumping in? Oh, Africa has some of the oldest civilizations in the world. No, we didn't. We have some of the oldest culture on the planet. Okay, but not civilization. I just want to make that plain because they're taking everything and giving us their nonsense. They're putting their little civil lying nonsense on our history. And our history wasn't based on lies. I just want to make that plain. And like I say, if you disagree, you have something, you can just press one and jump in. I just want to make that plain so we don't spend a whole hour talking about how old our civilizations are. Okay. Okay. Well, now let's get more into we're talking about the movie. Now, once if you have any information on Moors pre Muhammad, okay, going back 400 BC, 300 BC, 200 BC, or going back even further than that. If you're going, if you don't have your history on Mauritania or the Tai Chi, see what I'm saying, prior to Muhammad, okay, then I'd like to jump in and give us some help here, because it's hard to find the information. You know, the internet is becoming more and more controlled. I typed in one question, and give me a different answer. The question I never been asked. So they're beginning to take control over the internet as well. So it's going to be harder and harder to get information from the net. I'm talking about accurate information. We can get the lies. The lies are out there all day. But if you get the, you know, like I said, this is a civilization. So you're going to get plenty of lies out there, you know, from this culture. But you have to go back to books. You have to go back to our black historians that are searching for the truth. Now, you have some white historians searching for the truth, but if they print the truth, they lose tenure. They kick them out of their little group, you know, especially archaeologists. You know what I mean? And they're finding out stuff that's unbelievable about the black experience. I use the term black loosely because as a people, that's not actually who we are. All right? That's just one of the tribes. That's why we call ourselves Elohim Five Tribes, because we are five tribes, black, brown, red, yellow, white. The five tribes, that's not the race. The race is humanity. That means that we're a species who are capable of being humane. Now, living under this culture, it's hard to find it, but there are humane beings. We can still be humane. We still help and work with each other and different things, you know. So humanity hasn't been totally lost. Or they're trying to get rid of it, but it hasn't been totally lost, okay? So there's only one race on this planet, and that's the human race broken up into five tribes. This is my estimation. So black, brown, red, yellow, white, the five tribes. The reason why I say it like that, because each one of the tribes come from a different planet. I'm not going to go too far into that. We're still talking about more. But that's something you can research. Well, I don't know about some of the things I talk about, you really can't Google, because some of the stuff goes beyond their knowledge, the knowledge of the people who are in control of your information. So some of the stuff you just can't Google when I say it. You just have to go and find some books and do some research on your own, because it's not on the net. And but anyway. We're talking about the Moors. So the Moors, now we're going to start at a certain point in the Moors history, because, like I said, it's getting harder and harder to find information out here. And unless you have time to read these, a lot of us don't have time to do all this reading. You know, I'm reading at a phenomenal rate, but I don't have time to do a whole lot of reading either. A lot of times I can... they do have it now that you can put, they have these books on YouTube, on the internet, where you can, the book, somebody will read the books for you, and you can just listen while you're doing stuff. You have to stop doing what you're doing to get the information out of the books, all right? But then you can't always get the books that you need either, all right? So you can do it like that, which I'm starting to get more and more into. As time goes on, because to sit down myself and read this stuff, that means I'm stopped doing what I'm doing just to read the book. When I get the what they call e-books or talk, I think that's what they call it, okay? Now, now we're talking about the Moors. Now, remember, this is an interactive show. If you have a comment, a statement, just press one. You can, and that'll let me know that you have a comment or a statement, and I'll open up the mic to talk, okay? Now the Moors, they ruled Spain. Let's just deal with that part, because that's what I'm getting out. They ruled Spain for 800 years, right? And the contributions, let's deal with some of the contributions that they made in their rulership in Spain, okay? They introduced new scientific techniques to Europe, such as and they set up astrolabes. That's a device to measure the precession of the stars and planets, scientific progress in astronomy, chemistry, physics, mathematics, geography, philosophy. Philosophy literally flourished in Moorish Spain. Those are just some of the things that the Moors brought to the society. Work to the society when they jumped in. Like I said, you can press one on your dial. You can jump in at any time. And if you have any information prior to the coming of Muhammad, you know, and to the Moor sojourn as they migrated from Mauritania all the way through Africa, just jump in and give us a hand here, okay? Because some of this information is difficult to find. Now, just press one on your mic, one on your phone. I'm constantly saying this over and over because I know people chime in. I want them to know that this is an interactive show. If they have a comment or something you want to say, just press one. And I open up your mic and you can make a comment. Okay? You can also advertise the business if you want to, too. We don't charge for that. No? So like I said, some of the things can be added to them, right? At its height, one of the most historical historians recognized and declared that they were no land at the time, the 8th century, more admired by its neighbors and the more comfortable, you know, and a more comfortable way of living in the rich African culture, which took shape in Spain. I'm talking about the rich African culture that they brought to Spain. You follow what I'm saying? A lot of lies that they're putting out about Africa and how we lived and all that stuff, you know, it's just not true. Like I said, this is, we're under a civilization, all right? Yeah, we went into that as a culture based on lies, right? So you're going to be getting a whole lot of lies on your history and what's going on, all right? So we're just, like I said, we're doing this to bring some information to the Black community, to talk about some things that need to be talked about. And these what we're talking about the Moors, is one of the lists that that Brother Mac had on Legacy of the Nation. This is not an offshoot, because me and Mac, we started Legacy of the Nation together, and he took it over, and I became able to speak. So we have two separate shows. So, but Max, we're on the weather right now, so we're going to be doing Legacy of the Nation, which is Black History. Every Saturday, we're going to be doing some type of history, okay? The great mosque of Cordoba is still one of the architectural wonders of the world in Spain. of later Spanish disfigurement, it's low, scarlet and gold, a roof ordered by 1,000 columns of marble, jasper, and of trapping. was it by thousands of brasses and silver lamps lit? You know, it was lit up by thousands of brass and silver lamps, which burn a perfume oil. This is one of the marvels of the world right now. It's one of the greatest architectural structures in the world. These are Africans bringing this type of knowledge, okay, to Spain. Now, this is before. These guys, they didn't have the archaic system that they were using by the Romans. They replaced that. See what I'm saying? they replaced a lot of stuff, or brought a lot of things to Spain, to the Europeans that they didn't have. Paved streets and stuff like that. They didn't have stuff like that there, you know, until the Africans came in and took over their country begin to, I don't want to use the word civilize, because we begin to culturalize it. You know what I'm saying? We begin to culturalize the Europeans, give them things that they actually didn't have before. Okay? I'm going to list some of the things that we brought to them that they actually, that we did a really, really great upgrade on it, you know, when we got there. Astronomy, chemistry, physics, mathematics, geography, and philosophy actually flourish under Morris thing. You know, all this philosophy they talk about they had, they didn't have this stuff before the coming of the Africans. Well, they had it, but they didn't have it to the degree that they have it now. All right? Now, I just don't want to just start reading a whole bunch of stuff here because I want it to be in context to what we're talking about. And the question is, who were the Moors? You follow what I'm saying? And the Moors were of African descent. Now, one of the white historians who were there, well, he wasn't a white historian, but he was there. He described them as they had horses that were flatter. Their faces were black as pitch. The eyes stone like burning candles. Their horses were shipped as leopards, and they the riders was fierce and then a wolf. On a ship old night. I mean, that's how they describe them. These black guys that came in and crossed they crossed the Straits of Gibraltar, right? Into North Africa and invaded them. You know what I'm saying? They took the peninsula out of Spain. You know, these guys were pretty fierce. These were black Moors, okay? They're letting you know. And the things that they brought with them, okay? They didn't do this because of the European influence. It was their influence on the Europeans that brought about the expansion of their knowledge and their technology. All right, I'm just trying to keep it in context. Okay, now they ruled Spain for 800 years. Now that's something to think about too, because when you think about it, it took the white boy 800 years, okay, to get out from under black rule, because the Moors were black. They ruled at the time. It took them 800 years to get out from under black rule. Now, how did they do it? See? With the coming of Islam, it's going to rub people the wrong way, but Islam is a cult. And cult teachings are very powerful. But how they got from out under the cult of Islam, they brought in the cult of Christianity. Christianity is a cult too. And they used one cult to challenge another cult. And that's how they were able to get out from under and as rule. So you might think, well, why are the Christians so up against Islam? And why Islam? They've been at it for a long time. This ain't just started. Okay? They've been fighting each other ever since the two cults was introduced. They've been fighting one another. Okay? Now, what is a cult? A cult is based on sexism, racism, separatism and everything else is based on having some type of enemy. And that every religious group, I don't know what group you name, all of them had some, I don't know if you ever read the 48 Laws of Power, first thing it tell you, if you don't have an enemy, make some. You know what I mean? People tend to gather around they tend to come together to have something to fight, somebody to fight, or something to fight for, you know? And this is what makes these cults so grow so powerful so quick, because they're united under one theme, that they have this enemy. You can go through some of the religions, even the new religions that they set up, they have some type of enemy, you know, with the Nation of Islam and white man is the devil. So there's our enemy, you know. But we couldn't argue with that because he was treating us like crap, still treating us pretty bad today. But then you have with the Christians, well, they use this God and the devil, you know what I mean? So now who's God, who's the devil? of times don't anybody really know based on the way they're teaching it. Okay? I mean, we know based on the way they're teaching it, you know. They call the devil some guy sitting on a hot rock sipping tea waiting for you to come down so he can torture you to death. I mean, these are the concepts that people are clinging to. And they form a group around a common enemy. Okay? I'm trying to think of a group, the closest group that I could think of that had some type of love in the philosophy. I think that was the teachings of Buddha. But they'd understood that too. So I had one Buddhist monk talking about, we don't want no Muslims in our country and all that. But that's not how Buddha was. I'm saying, how can he make a statement like that with the teachings of Buddha? But the cults are very, very powerful. And we're in cults right now. And most cults, okay, they're dictatorships. They have a leader. You follow the leader or you're out. You know, that's the dog-eat-dog culture. Realigning yourself with source energy is supposed to be to reap what you sow culture. That's the scientific culture. They change it. They call it science, but it's actually reap what you sow. When you think about it, if you put two chemicals together, you're going to get a reaction. You put math on it to control the reaction. That reap what you sow is the basis of how the entire cosmos was set up. Read what you sow, that's one culture, and the dog eat dog, that's another culture, okay? Because they'll know you're dealing with read what you sow. If the culture is something's in your way out in the cosmos and you can't get out of its way, then you just knock it off, give it over. That's the dog eat dog culture. You're following that, and there's no, you don't have to pay for that because there's nobody powerful enough to make you pay for it. That's what I'm saying. That's how the dog eat dog culture works, okay? I was really talking about the Moors. I get a little sidetracked because once you're dealing with the Moors and the accomplishments that they made and the things that they've done to help society, it's absolutely amazing some of the things that they've done. I think the biggest downfall, you know, if you ask me, is when they picked up the cult. But the cult helped push them forward into their conquest. Same thing with Christianity. It was the cult. It can't, when you sit back in the middle of the circle and you say, well, how did this guy do this? And how did this guy do that? And you're not running around a circle chasing things. You're sitting back analyzing who did what, how they do it. The cult teachings is very, very powerful. Because when Rome was invaded, they go into the cult. They went more and more into the cult teaching. They made put one person in charge. That would be Caesar when they went to go to war because he had a very, very smart guy playing the game, making decisions. You know, he can defeat your enemy. And you don't want him to be a lot of second guessing going on when it's time to fight. I mean, you want to get in there and rumble. So, like I'm saying, the occult teachings are very, very powerful. And it's hard not to set up a system to govern that's not based on the cult, on cultism. You know, once you really study what cultism is, you know, you'll see that most of the stuff that we're under are cult. It's not a negative term. It's just a term of the system that they're using to control and bring people together. That's what it is. You know what I mean? These are my explanations. So, you know, like I said, if you have a comment, you want to jump in, press 1 on your dial, open up your mic, and let me know you have a comment or something to say. I'm going to be saying that quite a bit throughout the hour. As more people chime in, you know, I'll let them know that they engage in the conversation if they want to. Okay? We're talking about the Moors. Now, we don't talk about the Moors for half an hour. We talk about where they migrated from, where they went to, where they wound up at, you know, 800 years they ruled Spain. They were here in America too, because from my understanding, they have a lot of influence on the system that we're using today. Okay, now, George Washington didn't establish this system. President Hansen and them, the Moors and some of the indigenous people that were here, they set this system up, not George Washington and them. They just stole it and put their lives on it. You know, civilization. I'm about, they're civil liars. This is what they do. and they're functioning, George Washington's functioning under the doggy dog culture. It wasn't really based on the honoree versus so culture. That's what was supposed to be set up so that the people have some type of influence on the people that they put up to run their lives for them, okay? So your founding father is President Hansen and the crew, not George Washington, okay? There's a seed that stole what the founding fathers set up. You can go back. Now, this you can Google. You can go back and Google this, you know? And well, George Washington didn't like the Constitution either, nor the Bill of Rights. There was a video on YouTube about the Bill of Rights, but they didn't, they took that down about how Continental Congress set up the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. But they've taken it down where you can't find the information. Just like the, our Google, who owned America, who owned the United States, okay? And it came up, Queen owns this country, you know, and the Americas. That's what it said in Google. And I was telling people to go Google it, but then I was like, I'm trying to find it again myself. It just wasn't there. They just took it down. How I got into that information, I wanted to find out who was the owner of the bank, the national bank that we're using. I wanted to find who owns it because it's a corporation. I wanted to find out who's behind the corporation. But the way the Queen got it, that Queen is smart. So many women are smart, but I'm telling you, I'm going to smack you in the mouth. The most powerful person on the planet, one of them. It's a female, the Queen. So when I went looking for who owned the central bank, I come to find out that it's not owned, it's controlled by Congress. It's controlled by Congress. And Congress, see, it's controlled by Congress, which is the federal government, and the Queen owns the federal government. That's what's going on. That's why all of the major banking institutions are centralized in London. You know what I mean? Because the Queen is very powerful. She's very powerful, and she owns a lot. The two greatest owners on the planet right now is Queen and the Pope. Let you know how powerful that cultism is. See what I'm saying? The cultism. And Queen, they pretty much own half the planet. They own most of the planet, really. Either they own or control the most of the planet right now. That's what's going on. But anyway, that's how I found out that the Queen of Britain owns the United States and the Americas. That's what I found out. It bombs them. So now let's talk a little bit about nationalism. Now, you can research what I'm saying, right? In fact, a good book to read is a book that was introduced on the Will I Am show. And that was When Rocks Cry Out by Horace Butler. I suggest that as everybody need to read that book because that brother really understands history, you know? And he explains how we had a global system set up, you know, which was called the Americas. So this was called the Americas before the Europeans came here. So all they did was stole the name and called it the United States of America. They said they put together in America that they control. That's what they're saying. See, once you begin to understand the cultures and what culture is and how it works, you begin to see what they're doing. Because there's only two cultures on the planet. How you sing and dance and jump around and which clothes you're in, that's not your culture. That's a distraction that the leaders give you to keep you busy so that you don't know what they're doing. You know, football, baseball, basketball, all that's part of what they're giving you to distract you from the reality of what's really going on or what they're doing. This is why we've been under mob rule for the last 90 years, white mob rule for the last 90 years. And we didn't realize it until the mob went into Washington and started knocking the doors and stuff down. They were like, look at this mob. But we've been under that rule forever. If you go back into our history, you'll see they had to send the National Guard and all that because the white mob was trying to keep us out of the system, trying to lock us out of the system. You know what I'm saying? So now let's talk about nationalism. that's the next topic. Okay, and if you have a comment, something you want to say, press 1 on your phone, and I'll open up the mic, and you can comment or say whatever you have to say. Okay, let's talk about nationalism. They've made nationalism so complicated, but it's not. I don't know if I need 20 minutes to talk about that. We've got about 20 minutes left. I don't know if I need 20 minutes to talk about nationalism. Let's think about it for a minute. Whoever's in control, occupy the land that you're in. If you're born under their control, whatever they're calling the area, that's your nationality. Wait a minute, brother, what are you saying? If I'm born in the United States, okay, my nationality, okay, I'm an American. Okay, my status in America is a United States citizen. That's my status. Okay. So when you're fighting for something, as a United States citizen, and that way you're covered under the Constitution. If you're fighting as black people, you're not covered under the Constitution. Okay? Because there are no there's no place where black is nationalized. Black, there's no nation state. You have to be born in an area that's being controlled by that nation. And black is not a nationalized, recognizable name of any nation state. So now you can have a dual nationality. Now I'm a United States citizen, right? But now my origin will produce my other nationality. I'm a United States citizen, but my origin is Ghana. My origin is Colombia. My origin is Puerto Rico. You follow what I'm saying? So now I have a dual nationality. The way they call them, dual citizenship, but I have a dual nationality. You follow what I'm saying? I'm nationalized in the United States, and my other nationality is my point of origin, which will be Ghana or wherever you're from. We're calling ourselves African-Americans, but what part of the continent is your point of origin? You see what I'm saying? So you need your point of origin in order to set up the dual citizenship or the dual nationality that you're trying to do. So this is my take on nationality. Wherever you're born, okay, and whoever controls that area, that becomes your nationality. Okay? If you're born in wherever, it doesn't matter. You follow what I'm saying? But we're not born with, there's no point of origin called black. This is what they've been arguing about all the time. There's no point of origin called black. So being black is not your point of origin. So you can't be nationalized as black. You follow what I'm saying? Because you have to have a point of origin. To be nationalized, you have to have a point of origin of where you actually originally come from. Follow what I'm saying? So where you're born and where you come from, those are your two nationalities. You can have a dual citizenship, one in America, one in Ghana, if you want to, because that's your point of origin. Or it can be anywhere else in the world. If you want to, you can choose someplace other than the United States as your point of origin. You follow what I'm saying? So this is my take on nationality. Anybody have any comments or questions? Or if you want to, I keep everything very, very plain, very, very simple. It's not complicated. Some people take this topic and then make it so complicated you don't know what they're talking about. But it's pretty simple. If you're born in America, based on the Constitution, you are a United States citizen if you're born here. Okay? As a United States citizen, you're nationalized as an American. That's who you are. You have citizenship. You're a United States citizen, okay? But you're nationalized as an American. You're an American. Okay? And if you're born in Nigeria, you become a Nigerian citizen. So your nationality, you're a Nigerian. I'm a Nigerian. Now, Nigerians can have two nationalities. You can be a Nigerian and in French. You can be a Nigerian Frenchman. If France is your point of origin. I'm just making it really, really simple. It's not complicated. So it doesn't have to be complicated. Whatever person's born at, that's their nationality. Follow what I'm saying? And then they have a point of origin. Okay? Just like most Europeans that are born here, all right? This is not their point of origin. They're nationalized here, but this is not their point of origin. So they, most Europeans here have a different point of origin, okay? Because we know that their point of origin was not here. We know that. History tells us that, you know. Everywhere they go there, well, they're discovering or stealing. They're stealing the landmass, calling it their own, like they've been here all the time. But this is what they do. The Mexicans trying to get back into California, which is their actual point of origin, they can't go. They become aliens now. And they got to fight to get across the border to get back home to actually their original point of origin. You know what I mean? So it just, everything depends on who's in control. And now we have two cultures. Let's talk about control just for a minute. We have two cultures, the Reed Richard Soul culture and the Dog-Eat-Dog culture. This was the brilliance of President Hansen. These guys are pretty smart. They knew that the dog-eat-dog culture, left uncontrolled, there would be endless wars and fights. So what President Hansen did, they put the dog-eat-dog culture, which is the military, under the surveillance, which is supposed to be the reap-what-you-sow culture, based on the scriptural knowledge, which was supposed to be enhancing our humanity. See what I'm saying? As a race, we're slowly becoming more and more human under the reap what you sow culture. You know what I'm saying? This is President Hansen now. So this is why the military, which is the dog-eat-dog culture, right, is under the civilian culture. See, the President of the United States is a civilian. He's the highest-ranking member of the military. He controls the military, or she controls the military. That's the civilian. That's the what you saw culture. You follow what I'm saying? It's not a coincidence that they swear on the Bible for everything. You follow what I'm saying? That's not a coincidence. That's by design. Because in the Bible, that's where the reap what you sow culture is. That's why they have 10 commandments written on some of the buildings down there, you know? You don't mess with me, I won't mess with you. You follow what I'm saying? This is reap what you sow. You don't steal my dog, I won't steal your cat. You follow what I'm saying? This is the reap what you sow culture. And that's what that's all about. Now, it's a shame that the ministers who are teaching the book, the Bible, well, I can't say they don't understand the book, but they're not teaching the book the way it's supposed to be taught. This is why on Sunday, tune in tomorrow, we'll be going through the Bible, Bible 2.0, to show you how powerful the book is. I would like to get my hands on Biden's Bible. You see that Bible he had when he swore or something? I would love to get my hands on that book. But I'm telling you, see, the Bible has given you ways to gain power. And you have a ways to gain influence. The cult practices is in the book. That's how you get your influence. But the power teaching is in the book too. So the book gives you influence and power. Now, most of the ministers are teaching us on the influence side because they like the cult part of it because they become the dictators. So they become the heads of the church or whatever group that they're in. You follow what I'm saying? But if you notice, the churches are very influential, but there's no power. They don't have power. It comes from controlling the dog-eat-dog culture, which is the military. You know what I'm saying? This is why President Hansen and them set it up so that the civilians control the military. And that's how it's supposed to work. George Washington did a military coup. They put him in charge of the army. What made him do that? But to put him in charge of the army, he ran off with the soldiers. You know what I mean? So he took the dog-eat-dog portion and he attacked the reap what you sow portion. Now, reap what you sow people aren't, they're not trying to, they don't want to fight. They don't want to go to war. They want to live in peace and rest of poverty. They want to grow, have their children grow up happy and all that kind of stuff. This is what they want. You know, this is basically a civilian population. That's what they want. The dog-eat-dog culture is supposed to protect the reap-what-you-sow culture from the dog-eat-dog culture, because the dog-eat-dog culture, people who are under the dog-eat-dog culture, they're always coming. Because under the dog-eat-dog culture, they take what they want. They take what they want. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm a little, my vocal cord is kind of screwed up because I've been actually overusing them because I'm doing an album and all that stuff, doing a lot of singing and stuff. I kind of messed my cords up. So I'm going to try to be on the air for a few days. I was going to do every week, but I couldn't make it. One Monday, I had only to do a half an hour because my vocal cord was shut down. So I'm on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Monday is Society Day. So if you got questions about society and what society is, Elohim Five Tribes, Society of Love, if you want questions about it, tune in. It's a non-leadership-based society. That means there's no one person running nothing. The problem there, although we claim, okay, Jesus is our leader and teacher, but that's to protect the people that are running the society. Okay, when they come looking for the leader, we tell them, you want to talk to our leader? Okay, we got a little booth over there that you can go talk to our leader, and we have Jesus the Christ on top of the booth. Hey, all the ministers are talking to Jesus. So if the government come in and want to know about who's in charge, we send them into the booth. Go talk to our leader over there. You know what I mean? Take the pressure off, because that's one technique that will keep them from killing people that are running things. You follow what I'm saying? So we run everything together. We go to what we're going to do and stuff like that. That's how the society works. So we talk about that on Monday, right? Sunday we talk about Bible 2.0. Why do I make the Bible so important? You follow what I'm saying? I'm not making it important. It is important. Why do you think everywhere you go, all the hotels, the Bible is in there? Why do you think they reverend this book so much? If this book was trash and garbage and wasn't no good, you think that these people reverend this book like this? You know what I'm saying? And just for instance, I'm going to just give you one key. Just one key, that's all. And this will unlock the entire book for you. Okay? Psalm 82. You're all God. Everywhere that they talk about God, talking about a man and a woman. So when they say God made the heavens and the earth, what kind of technology did this man and woman have to make a planet? Think about it. See, that's something to think about. See what I'm saying? Technology existed to make planets millions of years ago. If you're dealing with the carbon dating, that's such a baby system. But technology that we had, we lost, all right? This is what the book is telling you, all right? You know what I'm saying? The book is coming from a design perspective, You know, if you make a plane, somebody got to design the plane. We are designers. We can design an entire universe with the right technology. You understand what I'm saying? You watch Star Trek. You don't think they know what they're putting your mind up. You don't know what they're leading you towards. You got five countries right now working on the engine or the technology to put that type of ship where it can carry thousands of people in the orbit right now. I forget the name of the countries, but it's France and the five countries. You might can Google it. I don't know if you can get the information, but it was out there at one time. Which country was involved in making this engine to do that Star Trek type of ship, you know, to make an enterprise. This is what they're trying to do. And if you notice that the ships that they have are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, more and more powerful, because they're developing the technology to go off planet. That's what they want to do. Some of the private corporations are off planet right now. But I'm saying, in the book of the, I forget which book it is, Ezekiel, I think it is, there was an aeronautical engineer. He's got 64 aeronautical patents. out of the book of Ezekiel, and we're throwing the book in the trash. What are they reading that we're not? That's the whole, this is what I'm getting down to. What are they reading that we're not? Centralized banking system, in the book. How to work your jobs and handle your money so that you never be broke. It's in the book. How to govern yourself. It's in the book. Okay? How to handle money as a group. It's in the book. All that's in the book. That's where they're getting it from. They didn't just wake up one day and it was all there. They got it from someplace. How they learn the codes of the book. That's another thing. They got the codes from General Maurice, who taught the codes to Constantine. That's when they started dominating the planet. Once they got the codes for that book, they started dominating the planet. They couldn't dominate. They're Rome conquered the whole world. How did Rome conquer the whole world? He ain't never been to this continent over here. What world he taught? What world are they talking about? After Constantine, okay, got his hands on the knowledge of how to read that book. Now they're all over the planet, everywhere. You can't go upon the planet where their influence is not there because of the book. That's why I'm referencing the book. The book is a very powerful book sent to you by your ancestors so that no one will ever have their foot on your neck. But once they got the information, they got their foot on your neck, and they're not giving you the book teaching to get their foot off your neck, but it's in there. Well, we're going to break it down to you on Sunday. So that's Bible 2.0, right? Okay. So right now, like I said, it's going to take me 20 minutes to explain nationalism because it's not complicated. And those that are making it complicated, they're just trying to make money off of you. You know, the more complicated thing is, the more they charge for it. That's all I'm saying. But everything is pretty simple. Wherever you're born at, that's where you're nationalized at. And you can have a dual nationalism based on your point of origin. That's why we say African-American. Okay? I'm born in America. I'm an American. My status is United States citizen. That guarantees me, if I accept myself as a United States citizen, that guarantees me protection under the Constitution. All right? Anything outside of that, you don't have protection under the Constitution. To the Japanese. See what I'm saying? They have protection under the Constitution. That's why they were able to get that money, because they were United States citizens who were being mistreated. Your black people, as United States citizens being mistreated, you can get your reparations. You follow what I'm saying? But if you're trying to get your reparations as black people, or Black Lives Matter, if you're trying to get your, I'm not knocking Black Lives Matter. Don't get me wrong, because those people are out there fighting the best way they know how to bring about some change. And so I'm not knocking these guys. Hey, do what you do. If you think they're making a difference, go do it. But I'm saying, if you're trying to get reparations of black people, it ain't going to happen, because there's no black people, according to the Constitution, there's no black people in the United States. There's only citizens and property. That's it. See? You were classified as property at one time. You see where I'm coming from? Even though legally, since you were born here, right, you were actually a United States citizen, but they were manipulating the facts and classifying you as property. This is what they were doing. But in reality, you weren't property, and you could afford them in court. In fact, some guys on a ship, I read the story, it's in some legal briefs, where they was captured, and they were brought here, and they were trying to consider themselves as property. But they couldn't keep them as property because they actually didn't have an owner, okay? They weren't bought and sold by nobody, so they weren't property, and they had to let them go, see? You have considered yourself property based on what you call yourself, based on who you think you are. See, that's what's making you property, but legally, you're not property. Now, what they've done, they've made it so that an individual can't own another human being, but Congress can own another human being, see? So all the property was transferred to Congress, see? So right now, you're property of Congress based on what you know and how you're handling yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you don't handle yourself right, your property, your Congress can do what they want with you. You understand what I'm saying? It's not none of this is complicated. It's all pretty simple. You follow what I'm saying? When they were talking about the, when they went into the three-fifths of a human being, right? They didn't declare you three-fifths of a human being. Every year, they do a census. And the owners can declare their property under the census. But the owners can only declare three-fifths of the human property. They didn't call you three-fifths of a human being. They knew your value, or they wouldn't be over here stealing you. They knew how much you were. But they would, the owners can only declare three-fifths of the human property under the census so they can get some money back from the government. That's what that was for. It had nothing to do with you being three-fifths of a human being. See, you were considered property by the owner. And the owner only can declare three-fifths of their property to get money back from the government. That's what that was all about. You know what I'm saying? It's all under the Constitution. You see what I'm saying? The whole thing is very interesting, but it's not, none of this is really complicated. It's all pretty easy. It's mostly common sense once you start reading the document like you're supposed to read the document. Now, nationalism, we've only got about 2 minutes here. wherever you're born at, that's your nationality. Your point of origin is a dual nationality. That's how nationality comes in. This is something made up by man, okay? Because technically, if you want to get technical about it, no human, no modern man is indigenous to this planet. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother issue. You follow what I'm saying? So your point of origin is not even this planet. Your point of origin is someplace up in the constellation Elohim, or constellation Osiris, or Orion's Belt, and changing the names. But that's where your point of origin is. And then that's not even your point of origin, because as an incorporeal entity, you come from a whole other dimension. That's a whole other story. Some of this stuff you can't Google, but there's certain books that will lead you towards this. And one of those books is the Bible. You know what I mean? A lot of this information is in the book, but you have to learn how to read the book. And that's my problem. They're not teaching people how to read the book so that they won't be broke, so that they know how to treat each other, dealing with the read what you saw culture. They'll know how to gain power from this system just by reading the book. It's all in the book, and that's what we're going to go through. We're going to go through the book to bring your power. Right? So we're almost out of time. Those that are on the line, I want to thank you so much. And I also want to say that we're dedicating this Saturday hour to Brother Mac. From Legacy of the Nation. He's a little bit under the weather, so, you know, whatever you do, a prayer, we'll say something for Brother Mac to help him on his way, and hopefully he'll be back taking over Legacy of the Nation. I can call him to his show, and I don't have to do it myself, you know. But every Saturday, we're talking about history. Saturday is history month, okay? Sunday is Bible 2.0, and Monday is information about society that we have set up. Society is up and running. So that's Monday. If you have questions about society, what is it, how does it work, and all that, you can tune in on Monday to get those answers, okay? You know, well, I just like to say I have walked the path as divine energy today, and I eagerly embrace all that energy to come back to me. So let it be written, so let it be done. I want to thank you once again so much for chiming in. I was going to do every day, but I can't do every day. So we're going to be here Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Those are only 3 days that we're going to be up there. Remember, our slogan, love is the act to make others feel good. And we will chit-chat again tomorrow. Thank you once again. Much love.